This is the Dynasty Roundtable Podcast. We are back, and tonight it's going to be a little bit different episode because I feel sometimes we capitulate on this show. And just for full transparency, we did have eight players we were going to talk about tonight. And again, I'm putting the cart before the horse. Tonight, we are going to debate and maybe fight. I don't know. These are our... I combed through our rankings today, and these are our biggest disagreements. And I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. This was tougher than actually setting the Dynasty rankings. Finding spots where we disagreed enough to the point where, yeah, let's put this on the show sheet. And we had eight players, but now we only have seven because Matt capitulated on Cam Ward and moved him exactly to where I had him. So anyway,
okay. First of all, mm-hmm. That is disingenuous because while I did see what you had the rankings at because I saw the show sheet, that is not why he is at quarterback 17. That's just the way it mm-hmm. fell. I explicitly told you that. Now, did that mm-hmm. also happen with Chase Brown? Yes, it did. It's just what happened, man. I went back through the rankings. I didn't have it updated, and you already had the show sheet prepped. And I was like, whoa, I can't go on this podcast and be a Cam Ward hater and debate Cam Ward based on my rankings that I did, 2 months ago. I got to update.
Wait a minute. You capitulated again on Chase Brown?
I updated rankings after you made the show sheet. There's no capitulating anything.
Well, that's the problem. All right, so maybe we only have six players. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen tonight? So we have for sure six players that we're going to fight about tonight. You see how hard this is, ladies and gentlemen, trying to do something new and exciting and fresh, and Matt Babich is over here changing his rankings at the last minute. Anyway,
would you rather me look like a fool? I'm sure your answer to that's probably yes.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I would prefer you look like a fool.
Sound like I know what I'm doing.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's do it. This might be a shorter episode because
let's still talk about Chase Brown because I think you're still higher on him than I am. We can go back over your whole RB1 in the 2025 season bit again.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Well, so Matt has him at RB12 now, too. So ignore the graphic that's on the screen. But I'm going to put it up there, God damn it, because I worked hard on it, even though it's kind of scrunched together. I had to throw it together.
It looks good.
Anyway, it's fine. Don't belittle
your work.
But Chase Brown, yeah, I've talked about Chase Brown quite a bit and just going through how Zach Taylor likes to use his running backs all the way back to the Joe Mixon days. He's featured one running back. Now I think it's fair to say, well, can Chase Brown stay healthy for an entire season? I think he proved that he could mostly last year. And I think that they're going to work in, Samaje Perine or whoever they have as their backup. I think it's Zach Moss and Samaje Perine. If I am remembering right. So I think they're going to work those guys in enough, not enough to really take over a ton of the volume. And especially you think about this Bengals team, they just signed Shamar Turner. Is it Shamar Turner, the first round pick? Like they just signed him.
Shamar Stewart.
I think Turner might be with the Bears. Yeah, I'm confusing those two guys. But anyway, from a passing volume perspective, this defense is going to be bad again. And this is why we love Jamar Chase so much. And obviously we love Jamar Chase because he's an amazing player. But Chase Brown, man, is going to get a bunch of work in the receiving game. And I think that's what he excels at. So, yes, based on volume, especially in a PPR league, I think Chase Brown's still a buy. And I've made that case on a prior show. So go check out the full list of shows. They're all in the podcast list and they're all organized on YouTube. So go check it out. But yes, I think Chase Brown at RB12. I have him at RB12, right in line with ECR. So I'm right at consensus. I thought Matt was lower than consensus, but I think you're probably a little bit lower than me on Chase Brown. probably, even though you have him at RB12. Like, you're not rushing out to buy him, are you?
Yeah, like, I'd trade him for RJ Hart. Like, I'd tear down to RJ Harvey or I don't know what the return wouldn't be great, probably, on a tear down to Caleb Johnson. So not as into that move, but definitely interested in potentially selling. The one thing I'll give Chase Brown is positive touchdown regression. So what was the one thing really last year that just never really felt palpable? And that was him scoring touchdowns. So he was ninth in expected fantasy points per game, but only ended up being 14th in fantasy points per game with a 1.4 point per game difference. He had 11 touchdowns. So you're probably thinking, you know, that's a good number. What do you mean positive touchdown regression? Well, he had a lot of red zone touches and he had a decent amount of goal line touches. And Joe Burrow, actually, I don't have a stat readily available, but he was ranked very high in terms of quarterback yard passes from 5 yards or closer to the goal line. They were throwing the ball near the goal line a ton. It's not to say that they won't do that again, but even as someone who had Chase Brown in my main redraft league, traded him away and then had to face him in a couple of weeks down the stretch, it was really palpable. Like, you thought like Chase Brown could have ended the game. Let's just say Josh Jacobs would have finished the season with like 27 touchdowns if he got the usage, if he got the usage that Chase Brown could have been getting on the goal line. Like, what was happening in Green Bay where it was like, oh my gosh, Josh Jacobs can't stop scoring touchdowns. Or James Cook, oh my gosh, he can't stop scoring touchdowns. That's kind of what should have happened with Chase Brown, and it didn't. So, like you said, we expect the defense to still be bad. We do probably expect them to take a little bit of a step back offensively because they had just asinine numbers. But his opportunity share is going to be high. I'm just not sold on his outlook beyond this year. I think he's a great seasonal pick. I think he's a great potential win now asset in the short term. But they, and I look, I know it wasn't a lot of draft capital, but you have Chase Brown, you have Zach Moss, who was getting decent work before he got injured. And then they draft Taj Brooks. Then they bring in incumbent veteran who's very familiar with Cincinnati and Samaje Perine. And I know none of those names are exactly notable. But to me, bringing in somebody who's very familiar, still trying your hand at drafting a guy who you and I both were interested in, many people like the draft prospect profile of Taj Brooks, and still having Zach Moss, who wasn't a bad contributor by any means, all of that does not, to me, lead to somebody who's going to get 73% of the opportunity again this year. That's my worry. I'm worried that they're more going to take a more balanced approach at the RB position for someone who was just running hot with Chase Brown. I mean, he was middle of the road efficiency-wise from a true yards per carry or yards per route run perspective. He only had 65% of the snaps, which was 11th, albeit, but then up to 73% of the opportunity. I'm afraid that if we see a little bit of a regression on the Cincinnati offense and we get a little bit more work from some of these other backs, that is going to be just enough to kill his upside to the point where him being RB12 is a bit of a stretch. And I could very well see us 7-8 weeks down the line into the season be more like, okay, we should be leaning sell. We're not loving what we're seeing here. So while I did move him up 5 spots in my rankings and move some people like James Cook, you know, back below him, I think that's right. I think ECR is pretty on the money here, but I'm not super bullish about that price long term.
Man, you said he was on a heater, man. He was on a heater from week 9 until even through the fantasy playoffs. And I know he tailed off a little bit.
He was getting like 90% of their opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, he was on the field. He started out just being on the field about 30, 20, 40% of the time. And then it shot up to 80% in week 9. And yeah, if he gets as many targets as he was getting, I mean, he got 11 targets in week 10, 7 targets in week 11, 8 targets in week 14. I mean, I think this could be a guy where if somebody in your league overthinks it and is trying to sell him, I still think minimum it's a 60% opportunity share for him, you know, and that might actually be good because it'll keep him healthy. Cause that is a concern, you know, like he is a running back who, you know, he's 5'10", 209, a little bit light, just a little bit, not terrible, not like a Trevion Henderson, but
I get what you're saying, but you realize that's a huge change from the back half of last year. If he's at a 60% opportunity share, that's like a 20% less opportunities. That I mean, that immediately makes him a borderline sell at RB1.
I did say that was a floor. I did say that was a floor, I think, based on the prior usage. So I still think that's a very worst case scenario. It's a very usable running back in fantasy. And at the ceiling, we all know what the ceiling is. So anyway, I lean by here, but that's just my opinion. Let's get to another running back, and this one's maybe a legitimate argument. I think I have Christian McCaffrey at RB17. Matt has him at RB24. Expert consensus rankings, and those are Fantasy Pros expert rankings where they compile a bunch of experts in the industry, and this is their average. So they're more in line with my ranking. And what I would say about Christian McCaffrey is, this offense kind of depends on Christian McCaffrey, and they're going to be dependent on him more than ever this year, even though he's coming off of an injury. And I get it. There's risk there. He could certainly get injured again. The 49ers could also be lying to us again. Lord knows that there were redraft leagues where I took Christian McCaffrey, and I know you're out there where you were burned by that. Thanks for nothing, Kyle Shanahan. They're like the Houston Astros of reporting injuries, is what the San Francisco 49ers are. If you know baseball, you know. If you know, you know. But there is not a running back out there with more upside than Christian McCaffrey. And the kicker is, this year, the 49ers have the easiest schedule in terms of winning percentage in the NFL. Add in the fact that there's no Deebo Samuel. Add in the fact that Ricky Pearsall's already dealing with injuries. I mean, Juwan Jennings to the moon. I mean, if he ever, I know he's dealing with an injury. I saw a report today, so I don't know. I think he's fine. I could be wrong. But if Juwan Jennings is healthy, I mean, there's really nobody behind him on the depth chart. And we know Brandon Ayuk's not going to be healthy to start the season. So where else are they going to turn but the running game? And that's always been Kyle Shanahan's bread and butter. Now, could you say they're going to mix in a little Isaac Grendo to try to keep Christian McCaffrey healthy? Yeah, that might be smart. But guess what? Christian McCaffrey's still elite. He proved that the year before last, before he was injured. And at this price, you know, I'm just kind of looking. You could, if you were a win now team and you were at the back end of, let's just say you had the 111 or the 112 and you drafted Caleb Johnson and you needed to solidify your running back room, you can't tell me that you're not making that swap if you're going for it, right? And if you're on the other side, you're taking probably Caleb Johnson for Christian McCaffrey. To me, it's the perfect trade, but you're twiddling your hands like a villain over there. So you tell me, what am I missing here with Christian McCaffrey? I get it. It's more of a win now move, but it's Christian McCaffrey.
I think you're missing your short-term memory. I'm going to go over the show sheet from July 17th.
Good Lord.
Buy, sell, hold. All right. Let's see. Seth's picks here. Quinshon Judkins buy, Jordan Addison sell, Christian McCaffrey. What? Huh? Is that S-E-L-L I see next to Christian McCaffrey's name? Interesting. This has nothing to do with the player, but the price and the value of said player. McCaffrey is 29 years old, coming off a major injury, and now supposedly I can cash out for Kenneth Walker and Caleb Johnson? Yes, please. Not to brag, but I was selling McCaffrey when he was up to RB4 in Dynasty before last season. End quote.
Wow.
I can't, of course. You know, you can change your mind.
I need to just delete the show sheet after I'm done. But no. But you know, it just depends on the context of your team, I guess. And I guess I am capitulating a little bit because we disagree here on our ranking, but yeah.
Now, that's
capitulating, but flipping my position here. Yeah.
I thought of this because I agreed like fully with everything that you were saying. I was like, this is exactly pretty much how I feel about Christian McCaffrey. It almost feels like you're selling your soul to the devil a little bit. Like you're selling your soul for that, for a championship. Right. And God help you if he isn't the same Christian McCaffrey, or if he's getting a 73% opportunity share because they want to keep him fresh, or Trent Williams is still not holding up, and with the absence of Brandon Ayuk, and maybe the offense just takes a step back. There's a lot of variables out there, and we're talking about a 29-year-old running back who just came off of double Achilles tendonitis. Now, we know he's been gone a while, and don't get it twisted. I'm not hating on Christian McCaffrey. He's obviously incredible. If he's 80% of his full health, he's still a beast. But we're in the middle of, first of all, four, in my opinion, very talented young backs that just entered the pool. With Ashton Jeanty, who is obviously well beyond where we're looking at here in our rankings, but also Amarian Hampton, Travion Henderson, Caleb Johnson, RJ Harvey, and allegations aside, Quinshon Judkins. You know, he's kind of out of this conversation right now with an asterisk, but
yeah.
I think there's so much promise in this pipeline, and there's guys I love like Kenneth Walker and Josh Jacobs, and I still love what Jonathan Taylor has ahead of him in his career. Now, do I think 24 might be a little too low? I will concede there, yes. I think it's too low. But what I have a tendency to do in my ranking sometimes is go through the process and say, if I'm not going to like proclaim someone a buy, I'm going to claim them a sell. I'm going to be a little bit under where the ECR is. And maybe that's a fault in my own rankings process to where I can't eliminate my own internal bias against somebody. And we've seen that, right? I think Chase Brown, I was a little going into this process. It was kind of the same thing. Him and Cam Ward both. I was a little bit down on them in terms of their dynasty value, and I ended up underranking them in the process. I think I'm closer. I think 24 is closer than 17, but I'm willing to go in the middle here and say there's certainly each side of our argument is very valid. And the same thing we said on the show sheet or in the buy, sell, hold podcast is that it all comes down to risk tolerance, right? And for most of my lineups, I'm going to be pretty risk averse when it comes to Christian McCaffrey because his name value is still up there. And it doesn't help that Derrick Henry at age 30 just lit everyone's faces on fire because now it's a lot tougher to use the well, he's 29 years old argument because Derrick Henry just did it. And if there's anybody who can continue to defy age like Derrick Henry, it's probably Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I'm looking at the keep trade cut. I'm scrolling here, and yeah, Kenneth Walker is ranked right next to Christian McCaffrey, I would want Kenneth Walker in that deal for sure. Kenneth Walker's at 61, Christian McCaffrey's at 62. The more I think about it, and the reason I brought up Caleb Johnson, and yes. Just to let everybody know, I still overall am selling Christian McCaffrey. So I stick by that statement. But in this debate show, you know, I have to make points here. And I am a little bit more worried about Caleb Johnson now that we've kind of seen Steelers camp unfold and seeing some of the nonsense that's going on with Aaron Rodgers. And I've never been a big Aaron Rodgers guy, and doing more research, their offensive line's not very good. And I get it. It's dynasty, right? And maybe that's why you're looking at me the way you're looking at me right now. But I'm a little bit worried about, like, he's going to get the volume. I believe that with all my heart. But this year is going to be interesting for, like, he could just be amazing. That's also possible. And none of that could matter. But the situation isn't the greatest because the best weapon they have on their offense might be Caleb Johnson. I mean, it could be DK Metcalf. It's one of those two guys, I would think. But Christian McCaffrey, I mean, if you wanted to take a chance on him and trade for him, I could understand it, but I'm still I'm still like, Kenneth, give me Kenneth Walker, man. So I guess I guess I'm folding up my tent and going home with this one. So I'll concede the point to you, calling me out there. Matt Babish did a nice job there.
By the way, that face I made was a silent, sarcastic no after you said you weren't a fan of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Anyway, now here's one where maybe I can convince you to my side. This is Malik Nabers, and you have him at wide receiver 3. I have him as my dynasty wide receiver 1. And before you're laughing, but I actually was on a show with Adam from South Harmon, and he completely convinced me. So shout out to Adam. Go follow South Harmon wherever they go. Great content over there as well. So Malik Nabers last season was the wide receiver six in fantasy points per game. He finished number 2 in targets with 170, despite playing just 15 games. And let's not forget, he was a rookie. So this was good for a target share of 34.9%, which ranked number 1 amongst wide receivers. So let's just put that into context for a moment. Okay, so Ja'Marr Chase in his rookie season, 17 games played with Joe Burrow, by the way, throwing 34 touchdown passes, 17th in targets, 23rd in target share, number 5 in fantasy points per game, 17.9, which is lower than 18.2. 13 total touchdowns for Ja'Marr Chase. Not the season wasn't as good on a fantasy points per game basis as the season Malik Nabers just had. Justin Jefferson, 16 games played in his rookie season with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, throwing 35 touchdowns, number 4 in targets, number 3 in target share, number 9 in fantasy points per game, 17.1 fantasy points per game, 7 touchdowns, a full point lower than the season Malik Nabers just had. And let me just remind you, Malik Nabers in 15 games playing with Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, throwing 15 total touchdown passes, finished 6th in fantasy points per game with 18.2. 7 of those touchdowns went to Malik Nabers. 7 out of 15. This year, the Giants quarterback situation is better. Maybe not great, but it's, in my opinion, it's significantly better because Russell Wilson is likely going to be the starter. And while he hasn't been great, he's been serviceable. In 11 games last year, he threw for almost 2,500 yards, 16 touchdown passes. So in 11 games, he threw more touchdown passes than the Giants threw all season last year. So if you extrapolate that out, it's 25 touchdown passes, 3,800 yards. That's a lot more touchdowns. Wilson also ranked number 2 in deep ball completion percentage. Malik Nabers ranked number 5 amongst wide receivers in deep targets last year. And if that doesn't work out, they have Jameis Winston, and we all know Jameis Winston's a kingmaker. Last season with Jerry Jeudy, last season when Winston was under center, Jerry Jeudy averaged 21 fantasy points per game. And then we have the upside of Jackson Dart. So they're like the Titanic. There are compartments, and the Titanic is probably not a good metaphor to use in this argument, but you understand what I'm saying. There are backup plans to the backup plan. With Jackson Dart, I think all those quarterbacks have a higher upside than Daniel Jones had last year. And also, I'm going to throw this out there. They also have the toughest schedule in the NFL, and their defense isn't anything to write home about. So they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. And this is a coaching staff GM their jobs might be on the line. So you know that they're going to feature their best player in Malik Nabers. I think the floor for Malik Nabers is, again, a 30% target share. It's probably going to be higher than that because they didn't add anybody in the offseason. It's still Malik Nabers, Wandell Robinson, Darius Slayton, Theo Johnson, Daniel Bellinger. And he's younger than Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. So he was better than those guys in their rookie season, and he's younger. So what are we doing?
Well, all right. First of all, I have 2 things to say to kick this off. A.
Much younger, by the way.
Yeah, sure. You can put Malik Nabers at 1. That's a pretty easy argument to win. I have him in the same tier. I don't care. I don't care if you have him 1 or 4. they're all in the same tier, and arguably, you know, as the days go on, you know, CeeDee Lamb begins to kind of creep out of that first tier, unfortunately, as much as I love him. But I think this is a good example of a case in math here. And there's a chart, a curve that is called the S curve. And it can be described for many things in life, the most popular being, you know, population growth. You often, as a population, you grow slowly at first and then rapidly increase and then level off, you know, due to resources and all those things. Or, you know, fitness, you know, it's a struggle at first and then you see a lot of gains and then eventually you kind of level off and plateau at what your capacity is, or, you know, learning a new skill. It takes a while and then you see some growth and then you level off into what you know and you're, you know, an expert in that skill. And so I think this is a good example of that, where just because he had this crazy start does not mean that he's going to break the ceiling of wide receivers, right? He has a level off point, and that is near Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase of being the wide receiver one in fantasy football. I will not take away the fact that he had all those crazy numbers his rookie season. I will also say, for statistics, in terms of target shares, Ja'Marr Chase going in with T. Higgins, their rookie year, not a fair comparison for target shares. That offense was good. That team was decent. They got to run the ball more. They played in a little bit tighter game scripts. And Justin Jefferson goes on a playoff team in the Minnesota Vikings, playing next to incumbent Adam Thielen. Again, not the most fair situation for him to go into. So I say this as caveats because I really don't have a problem with neighbors at one. The other thing I'll combat is I don't think the age difference is that big of a deal, because I don't, if I have 4 or 5 years with Chase or Jefferson, I'm good with that. I'm good with that because I think their offensive situations are in a better spot to where I'm going to be okay with that certainty for a quote unquote shorter lifespan, right? We don't know what's happening in New York. We don't know if Russell Wilson's going to be an upgrade. We don't know if Jackson Dart's any good. To be fair, we don't know if JJ McCarthy's any good either. I have higher hopes for McCarthy than Russell Wilson or Jackson Dart. And I certainly have higher hopes for Joe Burrow than both of them. So Ja'Marr Chase is still my wide receiver one. That's not going to change today. But they're all in the same tier, so I'm not going to hate on it. I will combat some of your points, but I'm not going to hate on it.
How much do you think you could get on top of Malik Nabers for, like, if you were trading Ja'Marr Chase for if you were tiering down?
I don't think you could get much.
You don't think so?
I don't think you can get much.
Okay. You couldn't get, like, Rashee Rice on top? No?
Oh, I mean, give me Nabers and Rice if I can do that. But
yeah, I'm just saying, like, I think people look at Malik Nabers and they look at a situation and they look at Malik Nabers' situation and they just write it off, you know? Where if you actually dig into the numbers, he performed much better in a far worse situation last season. So, and the
there's a bunch of reasons that can help explain that. Let's be real.
What? Like what?
They're playing down 50 every game.
Well, yeah, they're going to be playing down 50 again this season.
I'm not saying that we should treat him like he has a bad situation, but I'm also saying let's not use some of these stats to discredit how good Chase and Jefferson are, who could have done
I'm not
just
saying that
similar
they're bad. Like, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm saying he's just as good and he's younger. That's
here
what
we
I'm
are
saying.
At 3-1 at a wide receiver rank, and we're arguing. That's
what the whole episode is about. Let's move to a quarterback, and let's talk about J.J. McCarthy. You have him at quarterback 21. I have him at quarterback 16. ECR has him at quarterback 17. I'm going to give you the floor first. Defend your hatred and slander of J.J. McCarthy.
Well, I mean, if you take where I was at when he was graduating, going into the NFL draft, I'm a bull on JJ McCarthy compared to what I was then.
Yeah, but it's true.
I think the only egregious error I have here is Bryce Young over JJ McCarthy. That feels crazy to me a little bit, but the more I say it, the more I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take Bryce Young over JJ McCarthy. Because first of all, quick aside to the Panthers, I love what they're doing. I love what Dave Canales and them are doing. They continue to bring in more nerds for the Panthers. And when I see nerds, first of all, I've been a follower of Eric Eager on Twitter for almost maybe 2 years now. So I'm aware of him, and when he puts his stamp of approval on somebody, and I think they did a great job in the draft. And so they continue to make really good decisions on the analytics front. And basically, like, a bunch of people who were high up in PFF are now a part of the Panthers. So I like where that's going. I know that Kevin O'Connell is known to be this quarterback whisperer, but I really think that's like the crux of everybody's enamoring of him right now. Like, there's just something about it that I'm not ready to buy in on. He hasn't played a snap. He's in a good system, sure. But I just can't get there. Like, there's just a lot of things that are preventing me from getting there, and mostly being centered around a lack of seeing it before. And as I'm saying these things to myself, I'm staring at my rankings, and I feel myself capitulating a little bit. My heart's not in this. No. It used to be in it, man. Remember the days where I would sit there and just spew anything to hate on him. I think I'm a little low, but let me ask you some questions to get a read on, because all I see is QB 16. I literally could not find your rankings in this sheet.
Oh, they're in there. They're in there.
So do you have Trevor Lawrence over JJ McCarthy?
I'm pulling it up right now, and I don't know what's going on. I can't like sort it anymore. Oh yeah, I can. Never mind. So I have JJ McCarthy at 16. I have Cam Ward 17, Dak Prescott 18, Jared Goff 19, and Trevor Lawrence at 20, and Bryce Young at 21.
Trevor Lawrence at 21. What about Trevor? What about JJ McCarthy do you think is better than Trevor Lawrence this year? Situation at all?
I will say that I think Trevor Lawrence is in a good situation too. I've just seen what Trevor Lawrence has done thus far in his career with good weapons and playing in a situation where he should have been a lot more successful than he was. Now, he was like quarterback 12, quarterback 13, but you know, he fell off there last year. So I like Liam Cohen. I like the situation he's in. I'll say right now, I'll have no problem putting him over Goff and probably Cam Ward. That's probably a change I need to make. But I think he's really close to JJ McCarthy. I think that's really close. McCarthy just has a lot of upside. And if you hit on JJ McCarthy, like, he's never going to be in that elite tier, but I think he could be, you know, a top 12 quarterback, potentially like finishing around 11, 10, 9, like Jared Goff-esque, but with a little bit more rushing upside, actually a lot more rushing upside in this offense. And when you look at Kevin O'Connell, and you mentioned it, the quarterback finishes for Kevin O'Connell in 2022, Kirk Cousins finishes the quarterback 13 in fantasy points per game. Kirk Cousins would have, God only knows what Kirk Cousins would have done in 2023, because he was the quarterback 7 in fantasy points per game through 8 games, and then he got hurt. And then we all know about Sam Darnold last year. Sam Darnold was left for dead, and he finishes the quarterback 11 in fantasy points per game last season. So you take a look at this offense. I mean, this might be the best situation for a quarterback, for a rookie quarterback to be drafted into, with Kevin O'Connell, the weapons they have, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson. They also upgraded the offensive line. They signed guard Will Fries, center Brian Kelly. They drafted Donovan Jackson with their first round pick. That's three new starters along the interior. And it's not like this offensive line was horrible last year either. It was 18th, according to PFF. So it wouldn't surprise me if the offensive line is above average this year. So, and you have Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason in the backfield with that coach in playing indoors. I mean, could J.J. McCarthy be bad? That's absolutely on the range of outcomes. But this is me betting on the upside on a young quarterback. And if he's good, he could be really good. And we could be talking about him as quarterback. I don't think, he'll ever get in the top five. But I think his ceiling is like quarterback 7, 8, 9, you know, right around that.
I'm out. No, you were you. I'll admit you have convinced
right
me
around
to move
CJ Stroud.
You've convinced
CJ
me
CJ Stroud. I think
I have Stroud at 12, and that's about as high as he's going to get.
Oh, we could have thought about that. I have him at 8. Anyway,
yeah, we could have actually. I can move him to 18. Okay. I can move him a little higher, but like he just doesn't. Okay, if he hits, cool. I have Jordan Love again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose, but I do think there's a really good chance he's just really good. I know he's throwing interceptions in training camp.
No, I don't care about that.
I don't care. That's what they're supposed to do in training camp. Is they're supposed to take risks and try to, you know, read the defense. Like we still have a month to go, more than a month before the NFL season kicks off. So just relax.
I think you the people should be buying McCarthy simply because there's just no way all these McCarthy takes don't come back to bite me in the ass. Like there's, I've accepted it. I've laid down in bed at night and being like, should I just flip on McCarthy? And then I'm like, no, because if I flip on McCarthy, he's going to be bad. I'm just destined to be wrong about JJ McCarthy at this point. And because of that, because I'm a good person, I don't want to ruin someone's career. So I'm going to continue to be low. You're welcome.
Because
JJ,
I'm a good person.
That's all I'm saying. You're welcome, JJ.
All right. Let's move on to a tight end. And it's Isaiah Likely. And my argument for this, well, I should say Matt has him at tight end 15. I have him at tight end 22. ECR has him at tight end 15. So it's more, ECR is more in line with Matt than myself, but I'll say I think this comes down to he's got a big old Mark Andrews problem in the way. And right now, I mean, I think Lamar Jackson has good history with Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews had just a boatload of touchdowns last year, and towards the back half of the season, we were really starting to see the old Mark Andrews. And I would just say, what has Isaiah Likely ever done to deserve to be ranked in the top 15? Because I'm looking at his finishes right now, and he's played, it's not been a health issue. He's played in 16 games throughout his career, and he's been in the NFL for 4 seasons. Tight end 19, tight end 19, tight end 28 over the past 3 seasons. And I know he had that huge game in week 1, and everybody went out to spend all their fab money on him. But outside of that, it was a lot of mid finishes for him. I mean, I'm seeing tight end 22, tight end 51. There was a week where he was the tight end 4, but those were all earlier in the season. And I just don't, Baltimore's not an offense that's going to have a ton of passing volume anyway. And it's just going to be, I mean, I suppose you could say better in best ball. I think Isaiah Likely's probably better in best ball, but until Mark Andrews goes away, I think Mark Andrews is the better player.
Yeah, this is more about the tight end landscape than it is about the player in particular. It's all about upside to me. And I think in a situation where Mark Andrews showed, whether there are reasons for that could be corrected this year, i.e. you know, recovering from injury, put that aside, he still showed a steep decline last season. And if that continues, or if he misses time, Isaiah Likely is then thrust into a really good role. So that's point number one, is that even just on the off chance that he's the starting tight end with no Mark Andrews, that's a big ceiling point. Two, he can do that with Mark Andrews on the field, and we've seen those types of spike weeks. Oh, let me find the Cincinnati game log. He only had three catches, but he had 13 yards, but two touchdowns, 16 fantasy points. That's the type of usage he can provide. And we look at Baltimore. What did they do in the passing game? Okay, they got DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I love D-Hop very much so. I own a couple of fantasy championships to him. But he didn't do much for Kansas City. He's going to be kind of within that same role. Likely is not going to have, you know, his kind of joker, if you want to call it that, role taken away here. And so I'm looking at guys that I have beyond Isaiah Likely in my rankings, and I'm thinking, I would rather take a dud from Isaiah Likely if I have to, or pick up a Hunter Henry and play Hunter, go back and forth between, you know, play Henry if he's got a really good matchup. If he doesn't have a great matchup, you know, I play Isaiah Likely and just hope for a spike week, because we're talking about the worst position group in fantasy football, the lowest position group of fantasy football. And the difference between Isaiah Likely and a Tucker Kraft at wide receiver, tight end 10, or even a Mark Andrews at tight end 9 in my rankings, is much tighter than wide receiver 9 to wide receiver 16, running back 9 to running back 16. That difference matters. Even quarterback 9 to quarterback 16, that matters a lot. Tight end 10, 9 to 15 doesn't matter that much. Give me the spike weeks that Isaiah Likely can produce. And I know guys like, so, but Pat Freiermuth, Dallas Goedert, all right, he might be the one exception. He's also 30 and continues to get hurt every season. Harold Fannin, Mason Taylor, all right, you want to take a shot on the youth? Sure, I could for sure see that. I feel like I'm going to remain probably a little low on Mason Taylor, but that's okay. Kyle Pitts, foreshadowing. Kelsey, Ferguson, Chigakonkwo, like, that's why Likely is there in the ECR. It's a gross position group, and this guy can put up 30 points.
Isaiah Likely, I can't believe I didn't put him on my sell list. Do you want to take a guess where he is in keep trade cut right now amongst tight ends?
Oh, please tell me he's not higher than 15.
Tight end 9.
About as high as I can stomach putting him. All that being said, I'm the one who's.
Did you hear that?
Oh, tight end my gosh. 9.
Yeah. So here, this has to be a mistake, right? I mean, should we contact Keep Trade Cut and tell them what the egregious
It says he
error?
Fell down. It says he fell downward.
I don't know how he fell down. So he's ranked ahead of David. Spots. This might be. I'm trying not to be hyperbolic here, but this might be one of the more egregious things I've seen on Keep Trade Cut. He's ranked ahead of David Njoku, and I get it. There's an age difference, but age doesn't matter as much for tight ends. Njoku's just 29 years old. The age apex for tight ends, I believe, is around 30.
Dude, this is the strangest list I've ever seen in my life. They have Ferguson at 14, or Arroyo at 15.
I'd take Ferguson over Isaiah Likely. He just got paid. That situation's great.
Oh, shit. He got extended?
Yeah.
I did not see that. It doesn't change it too much. I still think athleticism matters a lot to the tight end position, and I think George Pickens is going to take some of that, more of that Jake Ferguson role away than we may think.
Yeah, maybe, but
in terms of red zone looks. Yeah. Is ranked to specify.
And according to Keep Trade Cut, I don't think you could make this happen, just for full transparency. You could trade Isaiah Likely for Mark Andrews straight up right now, and it would be an instant accept from
whoever. No way.
I don't believe that, but that's according to Keep Trade Cut. Anyway,
I think if I offered Isaiah Likely for Mark Andrews straight up 5 times, it would get rejected 5 times.
I agree with you. Let us know what you think of all these debates in the chat. Let us know where you have these players ranked, if you keep rankings, or which side you agree with. I already was destroyed in the first one. So anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's go to Chris Olave. You have him at wide receiver 28. I have him at wide receiver 34. And I've already said on this show many times that I'm done with Chris Olave. I don't know if it's just a value play for you. I know Tyler Shuck has had his moments in training camp, and I'm actually kind of pulling for Tyler Shuck because I low-key have a lot in Dynasty just based on where he was falling in rookie drafts. But tell me, why do you have Chris Olave at wide receiver 28?
So I made fun of you for changing your mind in 11 days, but
yeah,
you said something that I had to think a lot about, and you said, yeah, Tyler Shuck might not be good, but what if he is?
Yeah,
I was thinking, you know, and I know Jake Haner's taking first team snaps, and that's not very good, but I do think there's a little bit of a correction here to where neither of us liked Derek Carr at all. Mm-hmm. And in those seasons with a pretty mid starting quarterback, he was 25th and 19th among wide receivers in fantasy points per game. So I do think that 28 is a pretty fair spot for a guy who is 24 years old. He just had maybe not an upgrade in offensive coordinator, but I think having Kellen Moore coming from Philadelphia could help him. It's just a different system that may tailor better to Chris Olave's skill set. Playing that X role, I'm not going to say AJ Brown because that's a ridiculous comparison, but he will play the X role in Kellen Moore's offense and finished 17th in target share in 2023 and finished 15th in target share in 2022 as a rookie, third in air yard share, fourth in total deep targets. And in the next season was 12th, took a little bit of a step back there in air yard share, but also fourth in deep targets. I really love Shaheed. And I've said, you know, it did look like Shaheed was kind of the top dog in that offense last season. I think there's some factors to that, and I still stand by that statement, but I don't necessarily think that expecting Shaheed to out-target Olave is necessarily the correct decision. In fact, Vegas and every other outlet you would look at would tell you you're a fool for thinking that. So he's still going to probably be the target leader here. And hey, I mean, in offense where a guy could be getting 28% of the targets on a team that's going to be getting their ass kicked, throwing 50 times a game, sounds a little familiar. Sounds like something we might have talked about not too long ago. So I've been getting more intrigued as the price has come down on Chris Olave. I've been getting more intrigued of, hey, what if they suck, but he gets 11 targets a game and stays healthy? You know? And that is a possibility. Like, he fell to the 10th round in my Scott Fishbowl draft. I was, you know, in the bottom 15% of all drafters in terms of 80, where I got him in ADP. I said to myself, like, I hate it, but screw it. Like, there's got to be a certain point where everyone's so out on Olave that I kind of have to be in. And, you know, again, 28 and 34, I think when you break it out tiers wise, isn't it super far off? I don't have them up. I don't have the tab open up in the minute, but oh yeah, right here. So I have Golden and Downs, Addison and Burden, and Shakir and Reed as sequentially down to wide receiver 34. So I have a hard time putting some of those people above Chris Olave from a pure role perspective. I can't put Shakir above Chris Olave right now. I can't. I can't put Jaden Reed over Chris Olave right now. I definitely can't put Luther Burden over him right now. Downs and Golden, you could potentially convince me, but that's where I stand on Chris Olave.
Yeah, Keep Trade Cut has him. It splits the difference. They have him at wide receiver 32. I think that's fair. I mean, they have him right around Terry McLaurin, Matthew Golden, Ricky Pearsall, Josh Downs, Luther Burden, kind of sandwiched between those guys. So I do agree that the price is very low, and it could be a situation where I'm just so out on the player because I was such a fan of his coming out, and he hasn't really done much over the past few seasons. So yeah, I think there does become a point, and that's that's the million-dollar question, is at what point does he become a value? And, you know, if he falls much lower than wide receiver 32, if he keeps falling, yeah, I mean, even for me, there's probably a price point where I would consider buying him, but I just can't do it right now. So
wait till the preseason when none of the quarterbacks look very good.
Yeah, that's probably.
And they don't know
point.
Who they're starting. They're going to rotate Rattler, Hayner, Shuck, and none of them are going to look good. And people are going to be like, oh my God, the Saints are going to suck. And then 34 is going to go to 36 and 37.
Yeah, so I saved the best debate for last. And this is the most egregious ranking that I've ever seen you make, I think. And it's Kyle Pitts. So this might get bloody. Somebody might actually die. I don't know. But you have Kyle Pitts as tight end 21, which is absolutely batshit crazy. I have him at tight end at 9, which, while still maybe it's still crazy, is slightly less crazy than tight end 21. I just want to ask, you know, Darnell Mooney's banged up now. He's going to miss a few weeks in training camp. Should be back for the start of the season. But, like, the target's got to go somewhere. I mean, Drake London can't catch everything in this offense, can he? And remember, like, I don't know. You remember Kyle Pitts in his rookie season? Do you remember that? When he... Yes. You remember that? Like, his rookie season was...
I do. That was 4 years ago.
It was incredible, though. It was 110 targets.
Calvin Ridley was on the Falcons.
He only had one touchdown, and he finishes the tight end 11, and he had 1,000 receiving yards. And
we didn't even know Calvin Ridley bet on games yet.
Yeah, that's true, man. I'm still so in on Kyle Pitts. I cannot quit Kyle Pitts, even though the past 3 years have been absolutely dreadful. Tight end 22, tight end 16, tight end 20. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm just going by the numbers here, all the arguments I made against Isaiah Likely, I should just, I mean, the difference is Isaiah Likely has a Mark Andrews size boulder in his way. Kyle Pitts doesn't have anything standing in his way. So, and the price is super cheap right now. It's just ridiculous. I think Keep Trade Cut has him a little bit higher than I think most people have him. They have him at tight end 12. They have him ranked above Mark Andrews, above some of the rookies like Mason Taylor and Elijah Arroyo. I don't know, man. I think there's a world where somebody would trade you Kyle Pitts for one of those rookies, I think. I don't know. I think certainly you could get Mark Andrews for Kyle Pitts straight up right now. And I'd probably be on the Andrews side of that. I think I have Mark Andrews ranked higher than Kyle Pitts in my dynasty rankings. I'd have to double check that to be fair. But yeah, I have to think something's got to give here. And we all know tight ends, it takes a while for them to break out. And he still hasn't turned 25 yet. And I have to believe that, you know, he's a first round pick. So he's going to get that fifth round. Well, he must have already gotten it, right? He must have already got the fifth year option, right? If this is his fifth year, right?
They could not have accepted that fifth year option.
Well, this is his fifth year.
It's a first round pick. There's no way they accepted that. They had to have declined
it. It's the Falcons. Hold on. I'm looking this up right now.
To have declined it and signed him to a different deal, right?
let me look it up. It's the Falcons, man.
I wonder if they extended him at a lower contract before it even hit.
I'm looking it up. All right,
I'm feeling the air. But of course, he doesn't have anyone standing in his way. He hasn't for multiple years.
They picked up the option. That's why he's an unrestricted free agent last year, or not last year. This upcoming in 2026, he's an unrestricted free agent.
All to get out targeted by Ray McLeod for the second straight season.
$10.8 million would be he's a tight end, so it's cheaper.
Let's put it on the board. Ray McLeod out targets Kyle Pitts this year.
Okay, done.
Second straight year. Made.
Ray McLeod versus Kyle Pitts.
The reason I was cracking up so much is because it's a hate rank. It's a very clear and obvious hate rank. And I love every bit of it. I knew this was good. I baited you into this. I knew you were going to select on this because we talked about it last time and I purposefully did not change Kyle Pitts' ranking because I just wanted this to happen. And I don't really feel like changing the ranking anyway. You know, maybe there's a couple of players, but I fully understand where you're coming from. I'm going to get serious for a moment.
Oh, geez.
I do fully understand where you're coming from, but it's the same things that we've said year after year after year after year. Last season, it was, oh, there's just Darnell Mooney and Ray McLeod in that offense. Kirk Cousins, like, good quarterback, fed TJ Hockenson. Like, this could really work. Or, and Jordan Reed, now that I think about it. And lo and behold, look who wasn't good enough. And it's not that, like, brother, it's been 4 years. If he hasn't figured it out, I don't know if he ever will. They're in training camp. There are coaches' sound bites from this year of training camp talking about him learning the basics. Like, those are words that have been kind of said over and over again, year after year after year after year. And there's got to be a point where you give up. Now, tight end 14, sure. Like, I could warm up to that idea simply because it's not that much different from what I just said with Isaiah Likely. It's not that much different. But I think this is it. I think this year he puts another dud. He puts another dud on the books, and the Falcons go out and they draft another tight end. They draft his replacement, or they draft somebody who can actually block. And then they have a Andrews and Likely situation where they have one tight end that's actually a tight end and then another tight end that's basically a receiver.
Let us know where you fall on Kyle Pitts. It is, God, I don't know. If obviously, I feel like I've said this the past couple years. If he is terrible this year, I don't know what to tell you. It should be a quarterback upgrade. No competition for targets, hardly outside of Drake London, maybe Darnell Mooney, Ray McLeod. Jesus Christ. I really thought for a minute you were just going to say F Kyle Pitts. Like, tight end 21, that's what he deserves. He's lucky I ranked him at tight end 21, for crying out loud. He's been so gosh darn terrible. Yeah, let us know how you feel on Kyle Pitts. Let us know how you feel about all these players in the comments. And Matt Babich, do you have any final words of wisdom for us tonight?
I don't have really anything wisdomous today. I tried to think of something in the last 2 seconds. I think I've spewed enough BS for everyone to know I don't have anything wisdomous to say. But I will plug our promo code on Fast Draft. And if you go download Fast Draft, which is a revolutionary platform to, we really need to get a script. It's a revolutionary.
We don't have one. I checked. They did not send us one, so we don't have a script. That's very dangerous.
It's because they know how much I like.
If you're watching Fast Draft, that's dangerous because now you are expecting me, of all people, or probably more responsibly, Matt Babich, to come up with the right words to say to promote your product. So maybe.
Well, listen. I mean, their contest. I mean, the thing is, we might have already wasted too much time with this promo because their contests are filling up very quickly. They just did launch a new Scott Fishbowl tournament. And though you can run a draft and it's a free draft, $10 goes to Fantasy Cares to support children all around the world. And I think they support more than one cause than just the children. But my point being, you can do a good cause, donate to a good cause, and you can get to draft. And their contests are filling up. The rabbit may already be full, and it's getting too late. Like, we're getting to July, so download the app now, check out their contests, and use promo code DRT for up to a $50 deposit match. That is promo code DRT. Please go listen to other episodes where I do that better and listen to that promo instead.
Well, at least you didn't completely get caught in a just, I'm so ashamed of myself, Matt. You did the right thing. You shone the light where it needed to be shined. We live in truth here. I'm still selling Christian McCaffrey. Okay, just for the record. But that I'm not going
to
lie.
I thought it was really funny to pull that up.
No, it was. But there's going to be some people who really don't like the fact that I that we did that I basically switched my position momentarily for the content, which is what I
actually
did.
Hold on. I was going to chime in with this, but it was time to change the topic at the time. I am doing the same thing with Chase Brown. So they can come at me for that. They would have to come at me for that as well, because I moved him up in the rankings, but I'm also leaning towards selling. And I'll say that two things can be true at once. Like, I think it's a fair stance to say, this is where I have him ranked, but potentially I'm more on the sell side. That really all just depends on how you do rankings. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you could either put them at their value, or you could put where they think they should be and then make your judgment based off of that. There's no one way to do this dynasty thing. And you and I both have a tendency to, despite our rankings, be one way or another on a player. And that's natural because we each have different processes. And I was more risk averse on Christian McCaffrey. So I lowered his ranking, but I lean a little bit by where I'm at on RB24. And Seth is the opposite. So this is how this works.
Indeed. Click like, click subscribe, go download the podcast. Many, many people have been downloading the podcast. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. We have many, many new subscribers. We only need about 100 more-ish, about 120 some to be monetized. So
we have the best subscribers. Let me tell you, we have many new subscribers. It's potentially, they're saying it's the best podcast that's ever been podcasted. That's what they're saying. That's what they told me.
And if and what you should do is you should go poop in the yard and spread your feces over your oatmeal in the morning, and you'll never have any health problems ever again. So I had to get my cabinet member, my favorite cabinet member, which is not a good impression, but anyway, don't go poop on your oatmeal, please don't do that. That's terrible advice. Nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers, people. If you don't know that, then I don't know what to tell you. Nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers. Thank you so much for watching. Go follow us on Twitter at Seth_Dewald, at Babich_Matt10, at FFDynastyTable. Until next time, be good, everybody, and we will see you later.